Welcome to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, and we're here with you every Wednesday, and delighted to have you, and tell a friend and tell a coworker about us. We're going to be talking about possibly the most important decision you will make this year for the remainder of 2014, and that is picking the right health plan. It's not rocket science, as they say, but also it's not something that you should take lightly. Walton Francis, who writes the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans, says take an hour and a half. They have an excellent website that your federal agency may very well subscribe to. They also sell their books, which I love because I like to have a piece of paper in my hand that compares the health plans. But this is one of the most important decisions you could make. A lot of young people, healthy people, think it's not going to happen to me, but anybody can have a stroke. Anybody can step in front of a bus or fall off a ladder or what have you. So a leading cause of bankruptcy, if not the leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States, is our medical bills. So this is something that you should be able to protect yourself and your family very well. The government does an excellent job with this program. There are lots of plans. There are lots of options. They have to take you no matter what your age, your physical condition, your pre-existing condition, or lifestyle. They cannot refuse you. They have a number of options within the various plans. There are HMOs, health maintenance organizations, and fee-for-service, and there's just this wide variety of plans. And the best part is the employer will pay 70 cents on the dollar of your premium. So it's hard to beat, and without further ado, introduce Walton Francis. Walt, thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks, Mike. Good morning.
Always a pleasure. How long have we been doing this? Forever? I mean, we were boys.
we were young men.
Yeah. You've been doing this more than 30 years, haven't you?
That's right. Checkbook and I together, giving advice on how to pick a health plan and which ones are better buys really is the key thing we focus on.
Well, and the thing I like about your book is for people who haven't seen it, the book and the website too, is that you take the plans, you rate them, and you show how much, if you have no other expenses, this is what you'll pay in premiums. That's the first row, as I recall it. And then you have your chances, and you rate it statistically. You know, a 40-year-old has a 5% chance of having X number of bills in the next year. So you rate it by steps as to what your out-of-pocket costs will be. And then at the end, you look at the biggie, which is the cost to you, the catastrophic limit. And that's how much you will have to pay before the insurance kicks in. And it's just a wonderful way to do your shopping.
Well, we think so. That way we tell people kind of what's your most likely out-of-pocket cost, taking into account, as you said, both premium and the unpaid bills that the insurance doesn't cover. But the average isn't, the least, there's low-cost years and high-cost years and years in between. So we try to give you a picture that shows the spectrum and shows you how well you're going to do in each plan, in each of those scenarios, which is, I think, the key thing we do.
Premiums may be the entire story. They may be only a subchapter in it, depending on what kind of medical year you have.
Well, yes and no, because the thing is, some plans that have lower premiums also have better catastrophic protection. I mean, it's not a either or.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, the Cadillac is not always the better vehicle in this case.
Right.
Before we get into some generalities, we got a number of emails and calls from people here. This is from Mark, and he says, if you plan to retire soon, say within 2 years, is there anything you should be doing now as far as which health plan you should choose or not choose? And this might be a good time to bring up the 5-year rule, which is
absolutely
always a harder show for people.
The main thing is to be in a federal employee health plan. Doesn't matter which one. You just have to be legally. You have to be in one continuously for the 5 years before retirement, or the day you retire, you lose that health coverage forever. So what you want to do is be sure you're enrolled in some plan that you can get credit for being in TRICARE. You know, there's a couple of footnotes to this, but the basic for the vast majority of federal civilian employees, it's really simple. Be in a plan. Suppose you're in this common situation, your spouse has insurance from another employer, it may be better than yours. That's okay. Join a plan that's got a really low premium. There's several that are very inexpensive, and they may fill in a hole in your spousal coverage. You don't have to actually enroll in your own name if you yourself are a spouse of another federal employee. The key is that you are covered by an FEHPP plan for those last 5 years before retirement.
Right. And people say, well, my spouse's plan is better. Maybe so, but not in retirement, probably.
It won't be, that plan won't be around when you're in your 60s and 70s, but the FEHPP will be around.
Good. Okay. Here's one. My wife's a retired civil servant and has Blue Cross Blue Shield under the FEHBP and also TRICARE based on my military service. She just came under Medicare A, B, and also now TRICARE for life. Should she suspend but never cancel FEHB and save the premium? The concern is that FEHB covers certain procedures, annuals, physicals, colonoscopy, mammogram, etc., that Medicare TFL doesn't cover or has different time frequency provisions.
This is a very informed consumer. He already knows basically the parameters of his choice. The key thing here, the two key points. One is TRICARE is basically free. You have after age 65, you have to be in Medicare, but you know you're not paying two premiums. Mm-hmm. So you and the out of pocket costs are very low. So you can't beat it financially. So TRICARE is a good place to be in retirement. Correct. You do not ever drop your FEHBP. You suspend it, so you can always come back in the next open season. There are a number of problems with TRICARE, though. One is the network isn't always as broad as you would like, and the other is, as your reader says, may not cover the physical you need this year or want this year or the colonoscopy you want this year. Okay, here's my suggestion. You could always pay those out of pocket because they're not that expensive. They're certainly going to be less expensive than the cost of an FEHBP premium. Actually, I should say the annual physical would be less costly. The colonoscopy is not going to be, you know, you could even think about being in a low premium FEHBP plan just to get a particular procedure that your TRICARE doesn't cover and then flip out again during the next open season. So you've got a couple of options, but paying out of pocket is always an obvious option that people don't think about enough.
Okay, and it's not that big a deal, as you say, huh? Okay, here's one from Rob. It says, the workload in our agency is so high and the staffing so pitifully low, few have the time or energy to wade through the weeds of all the health care reform and runaround. Can anybody give us some simple straight talk about how to protect ourselves in the essential world of health care insurance? I hope so, because at the pace expected to perform the work of this agency, I'm going to need medical assistance to continue. This is Rob.
Well, the key point is all the federal health employee health plans are good plans. Okay, some are very good, some are excellent, but they're all, you know, you can almost flip a coin in that sense, and would land, wherever it lands, be in that plan. But I don't care how busy you are at your office, you can find a half hour or an hour to focus on your health situation, your family's health situation. You can look online at the brochure of the plan you're in. You can check to make sure it hasn't changed in some way you don't like. You could even, and you know, we cannot recommend this too strongly, you can save $2,000 or $3,000 next year in total health costs, premium and out of pocket, by joining one of the half dozen plans we rank most highly as compared to one of the half dozen plans we rank at the other end of the spectrum in terms of cost. So not taking that half hour or hour and not looking for a less expensive option is throwing money away. You know, we're in what, the third year without a pay raise, and there may or may not be a 1% pay raise next year. For heaven's sakes, give yourself a pay raise and join a health plan. You've got 1 month, about 3 weeks left in open season to make a choice that could save you thousands.
$1,000 a half hour, $2,000 for an hour. That's worth it. Here's one from, Paul G. Can you explain two things? First, what's the major differences between Blue Cross Standard and basic options? Please limit your discussion only to differences other than being able to go out of plan on the selection of doctors with standard option. That is, other than the selection of a doctor facility, is there a difference in coverage between the two plans? Even though you pay much more for standard, I'm single and retired, it doesn't seem like the coverage are better. In fact, in many cases, I've been paying less for services under basic than I did for standard, and that's with the same doctor. If you have time, second question is simply, how are coverages for prescriptions changing under basic option this year in Blue Cross Blue Shield? Seems like copays are based on percentages, and that's difficult to know what you'll pay. Another informed customer.
Huh? Right. Okay. Well, the key point, and I really do want to cover it because all the listeners won't know, Blue Cross Standard and Blue Cross Basic are two different options, both national plans, both preferred provider organization plans. There are two big differences between the two plans. The big difference is that the Blue Cross Basic premium for family is, you know, about $1,500 or more a year less, okay? So there's a big saving right there if you go from Standard to Basic. And Standard is the most popular plan in the program, and Basic is the second most popular plan. So it's not like, you know, you're going somewhere where a lot of people, you know, aren't there already. The other big difference is that in Blue Cross Standard, you can go out of network, out of the preferred provider network. And the listener, you know, says, well, I don't care. I know that. Well, but everyone doesn't know, so I want to just emphasize that. It's got a huge network of preferred providers. You really don't ever want to go out of network anyway. But that's what you give up by joining Basic, the ability to go out of network and have the plan pay probably about half of your out-of-network costs. On the other hand, think of it this way. Suppose you need to go see a particular doctor for one procedure, and it's a $200 bill. You can always just pay it out of pocket. I'm back to, you know. Okay, so I think Blue Cross Basic is an obvious choice for people who aren't willing to consider even friskier choices, okay? The difference in cost sharing between the two plans, there are a lot of little differences, okay? You know, one, the Standard has a deductible, Blue Cross Basic does not, okay? That kind of thing. The co-pays are a little different, $20 versus $30 versus $40, you know, they're okay. The way they handle prescription drugs, a little bit different. Blue Cross Standard, it may use percentages, but it's a little bit better at covering more expensive drugs.
And so there are times when pay the money, right?
Yeah.
Need to take a short break here, talking with Walton Francis here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. Be right back.
When you ask most doctors why they became doctors, the answers are usually pretty simple. Something like, I want to help my fellow man, or I just want to make people feel better. It's the rare doctor that gives an answer like, I find insurance forms fascinating. Most doctors wouldn't answer that way. Certainly not Kaiser Permanente doctors. They became doctors to practice medicine, to ease pain, to help people. So we at Kaiser Permanente are quite happy to let them do that very thing, which explains why so many of the finest doctors come to work for Kaiser Permanente. Because they get to focus only, solely, exclusively on their patients, which is exactly how their patients like it. We're Kaiser Permanente, and our doctors want to help you to live long and thrive.
At Kaiser Permanente, we believe you have a right to quality health care. See how we make it easy and affordable to get advanced medicine from the top doctors in your area. Call 1-800-677-1280 or go to kp.org.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The Guiding You Home Safely Report, provided and paid for by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association.
Up against a deadline, Congress passed and sent President Barack Obama legislation to avoid a threatened national default and end the 16-day partial government shutdown. The Senate voted first, a bipartisan 81-18, clearing the way for a final 285-144 vote in the Republican-controlled House. The legislation permits the Treasury to borrow normally through February 7th or perhaps a month longer and fund the government through January 15th.
Hi, I'm Trish Gilbert, Executive Vice President of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. Nobody likes flight delays. It's very disruptive to you and a bad day at work for us. We work hard to get you to your destination safely and efficiently. That's why sequestration budget cuts last spring that caused so much disruption to flights was unacceptable and must not be repeated. We need stable funding and an end to the political games that hurt our aviation system and our economy. Visit us at NACA.org for more. NATCA.org.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, every other Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. Deborah Roth sits down with Kathy Sands of Women in Federal Law Enforcement, Michelle Leonard of the Drug Enforcement Administration, and Stacia Hilton of the U.S. Marshals Service to discuss federal law enforcement.
Recent and pending legislation, federal budget cuts, strategic sourcing, human capital, and the relationship between government and industry will be discussed at NCMA's upcoming 32nd Annual Government Contract Management Symposium, November 18th and 19th in Washington, D.C. Hear from the Honorable Charles F. Bolden, Jr., NASA Administrator, as well as Kenneth Asbury, President and Chief Executive Officer of CACI, in addition to three leading expert panels. Learn more about this training event at ncmahq.org/WFED.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, talking with Walton Francis. He is the editor and author of the Washington Consumer Checkbook's Guide to Federal Health Plans for next year, 2014. Been doing this more than 30 years. And the last question from Paul G. was about the difference between Blue Cross Blue Shield. And as Walton said, one is $1,500 less in premiums, but they're very similar. So you kind of can't go wrong, but you like basic.
Yeah, I think if you look at the bottom line, the basic benefits are as good as the standard option benefits. There are differences here and there. He mentioned specifically prescription drugs. Basic has no mail order prescription drugs. Blue Cross Standard does, but most people don't use mail order and no one needs to use it. Blue Cross Standard charges you 20% for a generic drug and 30% for a name brand drug. Basic is dollar copays. The name brand dollar level is $40, I think. So, you know, if you take a very expensive drug, basic might actually be the better plan. But for most people, most of the time, it's going to be pennies of difference.
Yeah.
But the premium saving is for sure.
Yeah. Okay. $1,500 a year there for someone. I was telling Julia Ziegler, who's producing the show today, beforehand that you do this so well and so often that you could pick the microphone and she and I could go to Starbucks. Unfortunately, they moved Starbucks, or they've torn down the building. But why don't you just take it away? Maybe we could point out that many federal agencies are now subscribing to Checkbook online for their people.
Yeah, what I'd suggest people do who listen to the show, I'm trying in the show to give you a lot of the bottom line. We haven't even come yet to sort of all the good plans that I want you to look at. But you could go to guidetohealthplans.org. That's all one word, guidetohealthplans.org. And right there at the homepage, you can, number one, read the text of the whole book. You don't get the plan ratings without paying the fee, but it's a minor cost. But the main thing is you can check to see if your agency already subscribes for all its employees and gives you a free subscription. And the problem is the HR notice about open season you get in your email that you trash immediately without reading may have told you that, or told you on the third screen down and you didn't go down that far. So you may have free access to the guide and not even know it. And we find most federal employees who have free access don't know it. So go check it out. The key point is we're trying to give you advice on which plans are best deals for you. I might add, we don't just rate plans on cost. We also have quality ratings. And in the D.C. area, you can roll your own quality rating. For example, you can give more weight to having a baby or more weight to having diabetes or vice versa. Okay. And the plan ratings change because some plans are better at some things than others in terms of the quality of the service from the plan. The other thing we let you do in the D.C. area is enter your doctor's name or names, okay? And we tell you in that page you get to, after a minute or two of entering your age and family size and zip code, a few other things, this is an exchange that works. In a minute or two, you get to the ability to compare plans on all those things that may matter to you, including is your doctor in the network. So those are important things to most people. And so I don't want to say it's all dollars and cents, but the dollar issues are huge. There are a half dozen plans that could save you a ton of money compared to others, and there's just no, at the very least, consider one of those changes. And it's not as if you have to move from fee for service, you know, to an HMO, because there are good buys in HMOs, but there are good buys in the fee for service plans, and good buys in the high deductible plans. So if most of the high deductible consumer driven plans are excellent buys, it's hard to go wrong there. But even in the fee for service world, for example, some of the union plans, NALC, National Association of Letter Carriers, we actually rank that plan as the best PPO fee for service plan for most families of most sizes and most ages. Because that plan has kept its premium down a little better than most. Its benefit structure remains one of the very best. It's added if you fill out a wellness questionnaire, you will get a discount on dental care at the entire Cigna network of dentists, which is a huge network. Okay, so it's built into the health plan, in effect, is a dental plan. Number of others do that. My point is, how many people look at the NALC high option plan every year?
Well, and they think, too, that they have to be in the Postal Service, which they don't.
They don't. So it's just, you know, a matter of spending a few minutes checking around. Another very good option, APWU, another
American Postal Workers Union. Yeah.
And another postal plan that anybody can join, a great buy. GEHA, G-E-H-A, standard option, another very, very good buy. So we have all these wonderful options to people, and those are just the PPO plans, okay? Haven't even got to the HMOs, where there are any number of superb buys, Kaiser standard option, the Coventry high option, the Aetna open access basic, the CareFirst standard option, which is not just an HMO, but something called a point-of-service HMO, so you can go out of plan, like the same as you can in the national plans, and see a doctor who's not in the network. And then there's all the high-deductible consumer-driven plans. GEHA, NALC has one new this year. There are several new plans this year, okay? There's a new HMO in Virginia, Anthem.
Would you explain that consumer-driven, what that means?
Sure. There are plans that basically say, we want to put you in charge of making your own medical spending decisions, and we're going to encourage you to do that by telling you that you're going to spend the first couple of grand out of your own pocket, okay, and then we'll come kick in with regular, you know, 90% plus insurance for all the rest. But also, we're going to give you a savings account. And if you don't spend that first couple of grand, you have a savings account, which you can use, by the way, for that to cover those deductible expenses. But if you don't use it up, you can carry it over to the next year. It's not use or lose money. It'll grow and build forever. The two kinds of these, one of them is called high deductible and gives you a health savings account, and one is called consumer driven and gives you a health reimbursable arrangement, or it's usually called a personal account. There's a pretty big difference between those two. The HRA-HSA combo, that's actually money in your name. It's like an IRA on steroids. The money goes in tax-free. It grows tax-free. You take it out tax-free. And you can change plans, and the money stays with you the rest of your life, regardless of what plan you're in. The consumer-driven plans, the plan keeps ownership of that savings account. And so if you leave the plan, you'll lose it. But in either case, if you have a couple of good, healthy years up front, okay, you are likely never to have to pay a penny for healthcare costs again, you know, the rest of your life. It's unbelievable. And people don't, only a couple of percent of federal employees have joined those plans, and they're terrific buys. That's one of the, and all the plans I've just mentioned in the last 5 minutes, those are all plans that can save you, depending on whether you're self only or self and family, somewhere between $1,000 and $3,000 a year. That's that pay raise you can give yourself.
Yeah. Well, and are those two plans, are they better for younger, healthier people?
No, the savings plans, the high deductible, super driven plans, I would say they're better for people who don't. If you're someone who knows you're going to have $5,000 a year of expenses per year, year in and year out. For example, you're a diabetic and you take a lot of drugs. Those are not plans for you. Those are plans for the rest of us. But they're for anyone who's likely to have more good years than more bad years at any age. In fact, there are extra benefits of the high deductible plans as you reach your 50s. You can actually put in additional contributions on your own, tax shelter more of your money, better set yourself up for retirement. But for sure, young people, actually, I think there's two obvious choices for younger people. One is join a high deductible plan and get that savings account going, okay, or join an inexpensive HMO. I know a ton of new people to Washington who come here, you know, to start work in the federal government, age 22 or something. They don't have any family doctor here. They don't know they don't want to have to go in the yellow pages to find a doctor. Join Kaiser Standard Option, pay a really small premium, and have the ability to go to Kaiser and use their magnificent panels of doctors. I mean, you don't get to go out in the community and use any old doctor, but Kaiser picks good doctors and makes sure, you know, gives them a lot of support. And they have a network of clinic settings where you can go all over the metro area, no matter where you work.
Could you kind of go down your magic list? And I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like tomorrow, I'm going to do the column tomorrow on the best buys for singles. And I'm going to start doing research right now with you. But when I do it for couples, it'll be the same plans often, but just the prices are different, correct?
Right. The same plans tend to be good buys, whether it's a family of one, two, three, four, or five. So there are variations, and some of them do better for larger families than others.
Yeah.
So, but the plans I've already mentioned today in the show so far are all plans that are good for most families of most sizes and most ages.
Okay, well, you said NALC you rate very highly.
The high option, yes.
High option, okay, good point. And APWU, which is American Postal Workers Union, great buy. You don't have to be a postal worker to join either one. You like Giha Standard, and you said Kaiser Standard is excellent. Coventry is good. Aetna.
Coventry high option in Maryland. You know, it's funny. Some say standard, some say high, some say basic, some say value plan.
Yeah.
Those labels don't have much meaning.
Look at the premiums.
You got to look at the premiums. You got to look at the out-of-pocket you're likely to get based on the cost sharing.
So could you go down the list just for...
Sure. Well, let me start very conservatively with the national fee-for-service PPO plans, okay? Letter carriers high option, GEHA standard option, Blue Cross basic, it's right there near the top of the list. It's an excellent buy. Foreign service plan, which turns out it's limited in who can enroll in it, but that limitation is pretty broad. Turns out, for example, anybody who's in the foreign affairs, defense, intelligence communities, including all civilian employees of the Defense Department, okay, can join the foreign service plan. It's an excellent buy. Rural carrier, not many people in the metro area can join that one.
Right.
I'm going to stop there. It's not terrible to think about SAMBA standard. It's not quite as cost saving as some of the ones I've just mentioned, but, by all means, take a look at it. And it's got some excellent benefits. So those are just choices you could make that without even having to think about HMOs or high-deductible plans. But, of course, you should think about HMOs and high-deductible plans.
When we come back, I want to hit you with maternity benefits, older people, and people with Medicare. We'll be right back here on 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com.
This week's Experts in Health topic is influenza vaccination, featuring Dr. Vincent Chen, Assistant Chief of Adult Primary Care for the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group with the Kaiser Permanente Springfield Medical Center.
Influenza, or the flu, is a viral infection which primarily affects the nose, throat, and respiratory tract, causing fever, chills, runny nose, sinus congestion, a dry hacking cough, muscle aching, and extreme fatigue. About 96 million cases of influenza are reported each year in the United States. The flu vaccine protects against flu strains expected to cause disease in the upcoming flu season. The flu vaccine does not cause the flu. Influenza is a serious disease. Kaiser Permanente encourages everyone to get vaccinated against the flu for your own protection and the protection of your loved ones. Thrive.
To learn more about Kaiser Permanente's experts in health, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
Ask the CIO is brought to you by LearningTree International. LearningTree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government.
Stephen Van Roekel is the federal chief information officer.
Probably more importantly, much like we've seen with smart devices and iPhones and things like that out there, it'll change citizens' expectations of their government. And it's that force tends to be, I think, the strongest one in driving change inside government.
Listen to Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. LearningTree is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government, and they're on GSA IT 70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. For a limited time, government employees can enter to win a free course, plus a free course for a colleague. To enter to win your free course, go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Federal News Radio's Mike Causey is on Twitter. Follow him at MCauseyWFED for his latest columns covering federal pay, benefits, and retirement. At MCauseyWFED.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He is author and editor of Consumer Checkbook's Guide to Federal Health Plans for 2014. Been doing this more than 30 years, and it is the he literally wrote the book in this case. It is the Bible for people who are shopping for health insurance. And as he mentioned at the top of the show, you might want to check with your agency and see if they have subscribed for you to Checkbook's online service, and it's excellent, and it's particularly good for people in the Washington area because there you can sort of tailor make it to look at doctors and your situation. It's really, particularly if you like computers, it is really a worthwhile service. And if it isn't available through your agency, you can buy it, I assume.
Oh, yeah, online or online. In paper.
Okay, and on paper. And, you know, some people, when you mention something costs, their eyes water because they're not used to that. But this is a very worthwhile service, the guide you have. Either way, if something can save you $2,000 a year, it's worth it. So before the break, I said I was going to ask you about some of the best deals for people with Medicare.
Sure. Medicare changes the equation entirely. Okay. Actually, the main question for people who are 65 or over and retired is should I not sign up for Medicare Part B, the doctor part, because you got to pay $1,300 or so a year in premium. So then you're all of a sudden that in addition to your FHCP premium, you're paying a Medicare premium. And the question is it worth it? And there's a lot of pros and cons and there's no single right answer. That's for sure. Very sensible people go in the opposite direction on that question, for very good reasons. Okay. For example, Medicare Part B lets you go out of network. Okay. So it's a great backup to an HMO or to Blue Cross Basic. There's also special wraparound benefits most of the national plans give you if you have Medicare Parts A and B. Part A is the hospital part, and it's free. And you pay nothing for doctor or hospital visits with both parts of Medicare. There's even a Medicare Part D, the prescription drug part, and it pays for a few people to get that. One of the really neat combinations we recommend for people who have Medicare Parts A and B and want to be in one of these national plans, okay, why be, since all the national plans but Blue Cross Basics, Blue Cross Standard, GEHA, NALC, APWU, SAMBA, et cetera, all of them say if you will pay nothing out of pocket for hospital or doctor if you have both parts of Medicare. Well, in that case, it's a premium-driven decision. So go to the one with the lowest premium and of that group, and the lowest premium in that group happens to be GEHA Standard Option. And what you're giving up, though, is not having quite as good prescription drug coverage. Well, if your drug costs are low, that doesn't matter. If your drug costs are high, you could sign up for a Medicare Part D plan, okay? And for, you know, another $30-$40 a month, take care of the hit on drugs because now you'll have double drug coverage. So there's a lot of possibilities for people when they have Medicare. But the point I want to emphasize is it's mainly a question of how important to you is it to be able to go out of network, okay? Mm-hmm. Do you understand that you will not get back in better benefits probably more than about half of what you pay in premium every year? And then over, you know, sort of lurking there is that every year you don't sign up for Medicare, there's a 10% penalty. But that said, suppose you don't sign up at age 65, you sign up at age 70 for Medicare Part B. You've saved for 5 years running that $1,300 premium. And by the way, it's a lot higher than $1,300 for high-income retirees who pay what's called an income-tested premium. It can be double, triple, or even quadruple the regular premium. Okay. Well, you've saved, you know, for a retired couple, if they went 5 years with that Part B, they've saved $2,600 a year times 5 years. That's over 10 grand. Okay. Now, they haven't saved all of that because they're going to be paying these copays, these pesky $20 and $30 copays that they wouldn't have paid if they'd had a wraparound. But, you know, they're saving a chunk of change. Let's say there's a bad year or something comes up and they really want to be in Medicare. Sign up in the Medicare open season. Be in it for a year or two and then opt out again or stay in it the rest of your life. You know, I mean, there's some people, you could be pretty more flexible than you think about your Medicare choices. But again, when you have Medicare coverage, it's all the more important since you're paying two premiums and you have two sets of insurance coverage, and technically Medicare is primary. You really don't want to be overpaying in premium.
The maternity benefits. I know in the past you've rated a lot of the HMOs very highly.
I have, but I'm going to expand that a bit and turn it around a little bit. There are a number of circumstances where maybe the best way to pick your health plan is to start with your specialist physician. In the case, you know, what plans are, what networks are you in, Doc Sawbones? Mm-hmm. Well, let's take maternity. You're going to, if you plan to have a baby, chances are you have a gynecologist or obstetrician already lined up. Ask that doctor's office what plans will the doctor be in next year, and they'll say, well, she'll be in Blue Cross or Aetna or what, or maybe both. You know, mm-hmm. Here's the deal, and you can even ask which plans pay you best, Doc Sawbones.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to just ask what network she's in. The deal is for maternity, most plans, not just HMOs, but most plans now give you a special guarantee. They either say you will pay nothing for maternity care, assuming you use one of our network doctors, or you will pay just like $100 or $200 or something out of pocket. In other words, you can have your baby almost free or free, but you must be using a network doctor for the plan you're in. So sometimes start with a doc and then narrow down your choice of plans that way. And maternity is a wonderful example of that.
That's hard to beat. That is very hard to beat. And that's true of any plan. Of course, in the HMO, they have the doctors. And your doctor could be in the HMO network.
A lot of doctors are in HMO networks and in the National Plan networks.
Okay. We've gone from the young people, childbearing age, to older people. And I know in your ratings, you point out that, you know, like, old people don't like to hear it, but older people have more health care costs, whoever pays for them.
Expensive. It's staggering. The average yearly cost in medical care expenses for someone in their 20s is less than $2,000 a person. For people in their 50s and 60s, it's up to $10,000 or $11,000 or $12,000 a year on average, five or six times higher. So it's very important as you get older. We're prey to more diseases, mm-hmm. and more ailments, you know. Our bodies wear out.
Yeah.
It gets very important to look at what are the chances of having a high-cost year, and in particular, how well does each plan protect me with its catastrophic, you know, maximum out-of-pocket guarantee? And plans vary quite a bit in how well they, you know, they guarantee that you, you know, how well they promise you in that worst-case year where you, you know, have that stroke or have that heart attack, or need that hip replacement. I mean, there's a whole lot of possibilities.
Does your Best Buy list, we went through it earlier here, NLC High, GEHA Standard, Blue Cross Basic, Foreign Service, Rural Carriers, Samba Standard, does that hold up for older people as well?
It pretty much, but there are differences, okay? And, you know, some of these plans, Blue Cross Basic, and for that matter, Blue Cross Standard, have superb catastrophic protections, okay? And, you know, that so Blue Cross Basic looms a little higher in our list, you know, mm-hmm. as you get older. GEHA moves down a little bit because its catastrophic protection isn't quite as good. It's good, but it's just not quite as good, particularly for drugs. Okay, so there are differences, but I want to emphasize that the other important thing here is even the high deductible plans, which sound like, gee, they're the ones I should stay away from when mm-hmm. I'm older, wrong. They almost all have a protection of $5,000 or thereabouts maximum out of pocket for self only, and $10,000 plus or minus a little bit for a couple. Well, that's a pretty good guarantee. That's about as good as, without loopholes.
Yeah.
I mean, those are good guarantees.
Yeah, so that's the out-of-pocket cost to you, maximum.
The maximum, the worst case.
Worst case scenario, yeah. Yeah, I know someone, we had a guest on the show one time, Arthur Stein, a financial planner, and I think he said that Christopher Reeves, you know, Superman, who was injured in that horse accident some years back and lingered, was paralyzed and lingered, and he apparently died penniless, and his wife had to go back to work, and, you know, here's a guy who went from multimillionaire status to nothing because of the illness. Take a short break here. We'll be right back here on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Power of Attorney Radio every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Mark Frantz, co-founder of Blue Delta Capital Partners. Power of Attorney is brought to you by the law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients across the country. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
The Land Warfare Industry Report, provided by Raytheon.
This year, Raytheon celebrated its five-decade heritage of innovation with forward-looking infrared technology called FLIR. This technology is helping warfighters detect, recognize, and identify threats at greater standoff distances. FLIR grants forces the ability to maneuver under the cloak of darkness, giving soldiers the power to own the night.
Do you hear that? That's a warfighter on patrol, silent as the night, but never in the dark. Raytheon third-generation forward-looking infrared thermal imaging gives warfighters an overmatch advantage more cost-effectively than retrofitting and maintaining current systems. After all, when the mission is owning the night, forward-looking takes forward-thinking. Raytheon, customer success is our mission.
Come catch George Washington basketball in person at the Smith Center. It's the 100th season in GW men's basketball history. Lock in your great rate and reserve our best seats today. Games against Boston U, Rutgers, Georgia, George Mason, and VCU. For tickets, go to 202-994-7325 or gwsports.com. Partial season and flex plans are also available, and single game tickets. Call 202-994-7325.
APWU Health Plan reminds you it's the countdown to better health. You have 4 weeks remaining to enroll.
APWU, serving postal and federal employees and annuitants since 1960. APWU Health Plan offers many doctor visits at 100% coverage, such as maternity care and lab testing. To enroll, go to APWUHP.com and click on Open Season. Together, better health.
There are dreaded words on the outside of a box, assembly required. But it might not be long before products assemble themselves. Instead of spending your weekend building a new purchase from a box full of parts, imagine gathering those pieces together, providing a bit of energy, a shake, a little heat or electricity.
And then they can start to connect to one another. And if you can guide them into connecting in the right ways, you can have the parts assemble themselves and assemble in highly precise structures.
Skylar Tibbetts, an architect and computer scientist at MIT, is engineering materials pre-programmed to change shape and interact in very specific ways, and he's not aiming small.
Self-assembly is a phenomenon that we see at nano and micro scales, predominantly in biology and chemistry or material science, but we're trying to use that as a technology for manufacturing, construction, more the industrial sector.
More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Are government travel and conference restrictions stopping you from getting the necessary training you need? Don't let restrictions stop you from getting ahead. Visit GovEvents.com. You'll find over 600 on-demand and upcoming webcasts that you can watch right from your office. Webcast topics range from defense, security, and IT to energy, education, public safety, and so much more. Visit GovEvents.com to sign up for your free membership today. That's GovEvents.com.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu is on Twitter. Follow him at JSerbuWFED for the latest news about the Defense Department and defense contracting at JSerbuWFED.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey talking with Walton Francis, author of the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans. Got about 8 minutes here, and I'm going to keep my line to a minimum so that Walton can talk. Well, we're talking about older people and retirees, and you mentioned that there are major tax differences for retirees.
Yeah, it's something most people don't most federal employees don't realize is that, first place, the employer share of the premium. 70% or 75%, that's tax sheltered.
Leave that aside, because you never see that. It doesn't count as income because it's tax sheltered. Your share of the premium is tax sheltered. The part you pay. And that's true for active employees, but not for retirees. So you don't even, again, you don't see it because it's taken off what is reported in your W-2 as taxable income. So you're paying, you know, $4,000 or whatever to Blue Cross for the premium. But what you don't realize is because that is not counted as taxable income, the part you pay, you're getting effectively about a one-third discount because paying federal income tax, state income tax, Social Security tax, or Medicare tax.
Well, and so if you're a married couple, one of you, both feds, one's retired, one's working, have the insurance, the family plan in the name of the working person. So you get that tax break.
Absolutely. Good example. Let's say it's two feds married. Mm-hmm. One of them is 57 and retired, and the other one's 53 and not retired. Well, for heaven's sakes, you want the 53-year-old to be carrying the family policy. Remember, in those kinds of cases, it doesn't matter in whose name the policy is.
As long as it's a family plan.
Yeah, is to be covered, as long as it's a family plan.
And the same, too, with postals. Somebody works for GSA, somebody works for the Postal Service, the postal premium is lower because the Postal Service pays a higher share of the premium.
Yeah, the Postal Service, there's quite a difference.
Yeah.
It's strange. The Postal Service is essentially insolvent, and they're still paying 80%+ of the premium for most of their employees instead of the usual, the 70% that regular civilian employees pay, and most Fortune 500 employees pay, you know, the employer pays around 70% and the employee pays around 30%.
Well, they announced an intention to set up their own health plan, and everybody's ears went up because there's no way it's going to be anybody can see that it's going to be as good as the current plan.
Oh, it can't be. They claim, of course, it could be, but that's nonsense. Their workers are on average older than the average for all federal employees. Remember, we talked about how older workers are more expensive.
Right.
Well, guess what? If they pulled out of the FHVP and set up their own plan, they would have to pay at least 10 or 20% higher premiums just to equal the current benefits.
Right. And, you know, dog bite jokes notwithstanding, the accident rate in the U.S. Postal Service is very high because many of them are out on the street every day. They're like policemen. They're driving a lot. And you have industrial accidents in the centers themselves. So probably not a good idea for the workers. Just a couple minutes left. Is there a way to summarize this? We're going to have you back here next week, so we'll keep doing this till we get it right. But you want to kind of summarize?
The main point, the crucial point is spend half an hour or an hour. Think about your family's health situation. Talk to your spouse. Just make sure you've covered the bases in terms of, are you in a health plan that's going to deal with what you know about? You can't directly protect against things you don't know about, but both of us know about something. Okay, so take account of that. Look at the brochure of the plan you're in. All these brochures are online. You can actually go to either the Checkbook website or the OPM website, which OPM has a fine website, by the way. Okay, easy to use, easy to navigate. Download the brochure of the plan you're in. You can do it at work. It's a legitimate activity at work. You can do it at home. Your wife, or, you know, your stay-at-home wife or stay-at-home husband, that's the better category to be in, I've always thought, can do it at home. Or you can move back and forth. Look at the brochure. Flip through it. You can flip through it electronically. You don't have to print the darn thing. And you can sort of check. How is it going to deal with, rheumatism or something, okay, or surgery? You expect a surgery next year. And the surgery section is in the same place in all the brochures. So it's easy to compare two or three of them essentially side by side. If you do nothing but that much, you can at least be sure you're in a reasonably good place. But I cannot recommend that step having been taken. Check, is your doctor, any doctors you really care about, are they going to be in the network next year? Okay. If not, think about changing plans. And, of course, we recommend you go to guidetohealthplans.org and find, with just a couple of minutes of answering a few simple questions, and there's no third world experience on our website, you can right away learn which plans are most likely to give you the best deals and by how much, how many dollars you're likely to save.
Yeah, I love your lineup in the book because you can just look at it at different categories, married, single, older, with Medicare, without, and you get this lineup, and the dollar cost is next to it. And the other two points you made earlier, one is be sure you're covered for the 5 years prior to retirement, or else you can't take it with you, right?
Yeah, and the other warning is you can't, if you're in a self-only plan and your spouse, and you die, your spouse loses coverage forever, whether you're retired or not. So you must be in a family plan, at least as you get older and the risks of dying get higher, to be sure that your spouse has got coverage for the rest of his or her life.
Okay, and there was another thing. Talk to your doctor. Find out if he or she is in the network. And you had an excellent point there. It's your Christmas gift to them. If they are in it, say which one pays you best, right?
Yes.
Okay. What are we going to talk about next week? Just the fundamentals of this?
I think we can cover a lot of the same ground. There are all kinds of angles we haven't gotten into yet. We haven't really talked in any depth about the pros and cons of HMOs, or in any real depth about the pros and cons of the high deductible and consumer-driven plans. So, you know, there's lots of things we can explore. Want to keep encouraging people to look at some of these plans we've mentioned that are such good buys, like Kaiser and Care First and Aetna, Open Access, Basic. You know, you have to be sure you're in the right. A lot of these plans have two options. And some of the sicker people are in the more expensive option, and you probably want to be in the less expensive option because the coverage will be almost as good and the premium's a lot lower.
Right, because these premiums are experience rated, and if you're in a plan with a lot of older, sicker people, the premiums are going to be higher.
Right, so, you know, you should look for plans that are a better deal. Of course, some of those older and sicker people are looking, and they should, for that same better deal.
Yeah.
Because there's a trade-off between premium and cost-sharing.
Well, and I guess one final thing, and it's really a tragic figure. The government spends a ton of money on this. The agencies are buying your service for this thing. They have an open season. They allow you to shop at work. They're paying 70% of the premium. The government, as an employer in this case, can't be beat. And yet the vast majority of people don't change plans, do they?
No, they don't. And it's because they don't want to think about it.
Very good. We'll do this next week. Thank you, Walter and Francis. Thanks. Remember, we're archived on our homepage so you can listen to this show or any show. We'll see you next Wednesday, 10 a.m. Have a good week.
WFED Washington, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.